Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Justin Fields is going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And he's going to be hurt.
Probably.
Snap to Fields. Blitz is on. Fields in trouble and down he goes.
He's getting sacked all the time.
Fields in a tight pocket. Doesn't escape, but he's swallowed up and down he goes. Sacked for the second time tonight.
He's scrambling out of the pocket all the time.
Fields gun. Three right, one left. Snap back. Fields going to keep it. Trying to outrun a defender. He's going to be bottled up and dropped.
He's going to get hurt. The problem is you don't want it to happen when you're evaluating this kid.
Did someone say evaluate? Well, we have all kinds of tools at our disposal with which to evaluate players and teams and their performance against what the expectations would be on a given play. Next Gen Stats doing a lot of that work. And Edward Egros, he's on Twitter at EdWithSports, is an NFL analyst for Next Gen Stats. And he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Edward? How are you?
Doing well. Great to talk to some Chicago folks. I got my master's from Northwestern, so I feel like I'm right at home here.
Well, good. We are happy that you are available, and our guy Joe Ostrowski was like, I can't believe you guys got him on. He's fantastic. So I'm excited to talk with you, even though I might not be as excited after we're done talking because of the subject matter. So I'm curious, of all the things that you've broken down on the Bears, what's been the most disheartening number?
So it has a lot to do with targets. And I still believe that Justin Fields still has some real qualities that can make him an NFL caliber quarterback. I still believe that. But when I'm looking at his targets and where he's throwing the ball to and where he's having his most success, his highest total EPA, and EPA is expected points added, where basically, you know, an 8-yard gain on 4th and 9 is bad. 8-yard gain on 1st and 10 is good. So it's situational in terms of how well an offense is moving the ball down the field. When you look at the targets he's throwing to with the greatest amount of success, they're Khalil Herbert. They're David Montgomery. They're largely running backs. And they're not the wide receivers whom you really want to have, deep down the field. And this is a quarterback who is meant to run a good bit, roll out a good bit, and then be able to throw it deep. And that last aspect of his game really hasn't been there. And so to me, the most disheartening thing is just the inability to be able to push the ball down the field with chunk plays, because that's what you got him for.
Edward, a critical concept of Next Gen Stats has to do with yards above expectation. And every week I get the email from Christian Blattner that goes through some of the NFL highlights, and I always try to seek out the Bears in there. For someone who is completely new to what you do, how do you determine the expectation of what a given play is going to pick up, run or pass?
So let's start with something like completion percentage over expected, because I think this is an easy one, where you look at where the ball is being thrown to, how deep the ball is being thrown to, and all these other situational factors that we've seen in football time and time again. And what you can tell by measuring all of these data is figure out how likely a pass was going to be completed based upon how deep it is and all these other factors. And then you look at how well they actually completed a pass an offense did. And then you look at that difference between the actual completion percentage and the expected completion percentage based upon data, difficulty, et cetera. And then you come up with that completion percentage over expected. And so that difference is usually a pretty good indicator as far as, okay, this is what we should see from an NFL offense. This is what we are seeing. And then from there, you can start to evaluate who's doing the most, who's able to go above and beyond what's expected, and who may be, you know, perhaps inadequate in certain features.
From what you know of NFL teams, How much do they value getting information like the next gen stats?
It's enormous. And this is something where more and more, frequency, pretty much every NFL team is basically, clamoring for this information. And I think one of the things that I think we do sort of on the outside of the NFL is sort of turn this into, say, like a binary debate. Do you believe in analytics? Yes or no. Is data useful? Yes or no. And the truth is, every NFL team in some way, shape, or form has embraced analytics, has embraced next-gen stats. The question is, to what degree? You know, everything involves probability in some way, shape, or form. And so some NFL teams are certainly more accustomed and more comfortable with using this information in terms of decision-making, and some maybe are a little bit less informed, whatever the case may be. But to say that this is like some binary conversation, like yes or no, it doesn't really work that way anymore. Every NFL team, they're using these tools in some way, shape, or form. It's just a matter of degree.
On your breakdowns of the Bears offense, how has the offensive line performed?
Well, I have some questions because on the one hand, when you look at, say, quarterback pressures and sacks and, all those big glamorous plays, it's largely a quarterback stat, right? Because if you're holding onto the ball too long, trying to find the absolute perfect situation, and you're not throwing the ball away when a play completely breaks down, or, secondary sacks, things we, refer to that way, then that's usually the fault of the quarterback. And it's because you're holding on to the ball too long, the decision-making's poor, whatever it is. But then when you sort of break down the pressure numbers themselves, I think it tells a slightly different story when it comes to Justin Fields. His quarterback pressure rate, in terms of a defender being within, say, a yard and a half of him upon, time of throw or whatever it is, at any point during the play, that's 44.6%. That's really, really high. He's also blitzed a good bit, and so that partially explains why the pressure rate is so high. Daniel Jones is first in the NFL at 46.2%. So you got a 46%er, and you got Justin Fields at about 45%, and then third place is 10 percentage points fewer. That's a humongous gap. So part of that could very well be Justin Fields hanging on to the ball too long. He has a really high, average time to throw. But then when that gap is so massive from first and second to third, you have to believe that the pressure is breaking down enough to where it's making Justin Fields' job that much harder. And so to answer your question about the offensive line, sure, there are some serious questions there, in part because the pressure rate is much higher than everyone else.
So if someone also wanted to continue making the case that Justin Fields doesn't have a chance here, he's not getting a fair shot, how would one construct a next-gen statistical case beyond just that? If we're looking at throwing windows, if we're looking at the kinds of passes he has to make based on the openness or lack thereof of receiving targets and factoring in the time he has to throw?
Well, let's start with time to throw. So he has the most throws with 4+ seconds from time of the snap to actual release. And so that's probably an indicator that he's having to scramble for his life, try and find somebody open. Maybe receivers aren't getting as open as well as perhaps he needs. His average time to throw, 3.12 seconds. That's the third longest among all qualifying quarterbacks. So constructing this argument really does begin with, how much tougher is it for him to complete throws than it is for, say, any other quarterback? And I would argue that the difficulty at this point is quite high. He's scrambling more per dropback than any other quarterback. And these aren't necessarily in structure or design. He's having to make himself open. He's having to buy some time and find an open target. So that, to me, are signs that he's not in, say, the best possible situation he can be. But at the same time, in this quarterback evaluation process, nothing's really in a vacuum, right? You sort of play the hand that you're dealt, and then you figure out if this quarterback is in the right possible situation. And, keep in mind that, there's been a coaching change since he took over as quarterback. So that's also going to be a question. How well does he perform with this particular group? So there are a lot of factors that go in that sort of mess with each other, so to speak. But to me, I go back to, how well is he trying to protect the ball? And to me, I think he's trying to do about as much as he can. I don't see too many, say, hero plays that he's trying to make. For instance, his tight window throw rate is 4.5%. that's really low. He's not trying to throw, you know, to someone who's double teamed or something like that that often. So the protection of the football, I think, is pretty good, but at the same time, he is in a really tough spot.
At the beginning of this, you were saying that, you know, that you still have some hope. Well, what puts you in that position of feeling like there's still hope for this player to develop? And how much does it have to do with the lack of games that he's played?
So I look at, say, the state of the NFL right now. And to me, mobility at the quarterback position is probably more important than ever before. I think someone, say, like Lamar Jackson with Baltimore, I think he's more of a trendsetter than he is, say, an outlier. Pat Mahomes is really mobile. But you know, a lot of the other great young quarterbacks right now do require some level of mobility. And then I look at Justin Fields and I look at his athleticism. You look at the top speeds among quarterback plays, Justin Fields owns four of the top 10. He is a fast football player. And that athleticism, plus the decision-making that we've seen from him in college and to an extent, you know, in the NFL, you know, in small doses, I think that athleticism still suggests that there is something there. Now, is he in the right system? Is he in the right situation? That's still something where I would certainly want more data to figure out those kinds of answers. But that athleticism leads me to believe that he has at least the right skills necessary to play in today's game.
Edward, in your opinion, what is next for next-gen stats? And this is, it's still relatively early in the life of this. What would be an area for, if your boss is asked, hey, where can we evolve? What is something that piques your curiosity where we haven't figured out the measurement tool quite yet?
I think for me personally, the biggest question I have always had when it comes to, say, understanding the game of football in general is how well a quarterback is making decisions. Because, yeah, you can see a quarterback make a 20-yard completion, and, yeah, that's great, moves the chains, all that stuff. But was it the best possible decision in that situation? It's possible that a receiver may have been even more wide open, or someone way down the field could have been open had you scrambled to your right or something. You know, some kind of a bootleg may have been the better decision. Maybe you misread a defense, and then that caused some problems. To me, I would love to know when a quarterback is making the absolute best possible decision. And to me, sometimes those decisions can be throwing it 60 yards into the stands because there's literally nobody open and nobody's going to be open. So if there is some sort of metric that would say, okay, in this particular play, the quarterback made the best decision or the second best decision, and then add up those decisions to determine, say, a success rate or, you know, first correct decision rate, something like that. I do feel like that we can be evolving toward having something like that. Certainly we're not there yet. And it's something that, you know, we've had many conversations about internally saying, you know, what do we want to be able to do to evaluate quarterbacks better? And certainly we're always trying to find ways to improve as far as that's concerned. But to me personally, I have always been curious as far as how to quantify decision-making, because once you're able to do that, then I think you can have a much better idea as far as how to power rank quarterbacks. I mean, we have our NGS passing score, which I think really helps in terms of isolating quarterback skills. And I think that is a wonderful metric. Really excited to share that. But at the same time, I think that decision-making is also something that we could stand to talk about even more.
What's something in the league outside of wins and losses that you've put a pin in and you're like, I'm going to track this for the rest of the season?
Well, to me, I mean, obviously the quarterback position is the most important. And so I'm always curious, like, you know, let's chart these passing scores and see how stable they are. And sometimes we can be surprised as far as, okay, if there's a name, say, in the top five that we weren't expecting, how long are they going to be staying in this? And so for me, I'm going to be curious, like in Seattle, for instance, Geno Smith's passing score numbers have been off the charts. He's been unbelievable. And I'm curious as far as how that's happened. I mean, we're 4 weeks into the season. At some point, you start to have to take these numbers seriously. And yes, Seattle was certainly bad as far as our priors were concerned, I think, for most people. But the fact that Geno Smith is playing incredibly well, still has a great receiving core around him, I'm going to be curious to see how stable that is over time. Can you be off to a hot start? Is 4 weeks enough to say, hey, look, Seattle has something here. This is serious. Jared Goff also had a great passing score last week. How important is that in terms of stability for Detroit down the road, despite having a rough year last year? So in terms of beyond wins and losses, I'm very much curious to see how stable things are and at what point during an NFL season can you start to say, okay, this is serious versus the sample size is too small.
We are going to talk again this season for sure. I can tell you that, Edward. That's outstanding stuff. Thanks
well, if,
so much.
If Edward wants to.
Oh, well, we'll find him. We'll track him down and we'll make him do it. Well, damn it.
The next time we can have a conversation about tavern style pizza with Edward.
I'm in. 100%. Let's do it.
All right.
There we go. The completion probability of eating this whole pizza versus what you would expect from me, given how hungry I am.
Pizza exactly. Metrics will be coming next at some point with Edward Egros, NFL Next Gen Stats Analyst. Edward, thank you.
Thank you so much.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.